Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8. This is a fifth Sunday, as you well know and have been reminded of. And I wanted to do something a little differently today by way of preaching than that I normally do. There is a practical aspect that I have wanted to address for some time, and I think that maybe this day provides us with that opportunity. So much of what I have to say is going to be on a practical level, a practical level. The scripture is taken from Luke chapter number 8, verses 5 through 18. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And most of the parables that Jesus used needed some explanation after it. And he did not leave it up to his disciples to figure that out. He not only gave them the parable, but he explained the meaning of the parable. And in verse 10, he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." I don't want you to be offended at what I say, and especially I don't want you to be offended at what God says, but there's some folks He just doesn't want them to hear. And there's some folks He just does not want them to understand. You say, "Well, I have understanding." If you do, God gave you that understanding. And he does not give it to every man. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root for a while, though they believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell upon thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pressures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. A couple of verses that seem to go hand in hand here is the latter part of verse number 8 that says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then the first part of verse number 18, "Take heed therefore how you hear." And my subject is how to listen to a sermon. How to listen to a sermon. It is important what we listen to. What we listen to. Psalm number 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's a lot of talk going on today you don't need to listen to. But at the same time, there are things we do need to listen to, and equally important is it how we listen. How we listen. There are fewer and fewer preachers, in my opinion, who know how to preach. And especially how to preach a sermon. In many churches, all the congregation hears is a course in Dale Carnegie or a psychological presentation on building up your self-esteem. Preachers used to preach. I have not been around longer than anybody else. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I think I have. But I realize I haven't been around longer than a lot of folk have. But I've learned a few things. Preachers used to preach. And it didn't make any difference whether they were Methodist, whether they were Baptist, whether they were Episcopalian, whether they were Lutheran. When a man mounted the pulpit, you might as well latch on. He's getting ready to preach. But they do not do that. Hard, old-time preachers are difficult to find anymore. By the same token, there are few that know how to listen to a sermon. Many know how to sleep through one. But not so many know how to listen to one. And that's what this message is all about on this fifth Sunday. It's very simple, it's very practical, yet we can all learn from it. I believe that. In the scripture that I've read for you, please notice you have four soils mentioned. In verse number 5, you have the pathway soil. A sower went forth to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside, or the pathway soil. There is the rocky way soil in verse number 6. Some of the seed fell upon a rock. There is the thorny way soil in verse number 7. Some fell among thorns. And then verse number 8 is the good way soil. Some fell on good ground. And our Lord interprets this parable, stressing the importance of listening and hearing. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. As he explains the parable, notice in verse number 12, there are hearers mentioned there. In verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. Notice also in the rocky way soil, there were hearers present. Verse number 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, you see, you had hearers on that soil. The third type of soil, the thorny way soil, also have hearers. Verse 14, that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard. All of them heard. However, the hearers in the good way soil are mentioned in verse 15, having heard. Not only did they hear, but they listened. They paid attention and they listened. And the text in verse 18 tells us that we need to be careful how we hear. Take heed, therefore, how you listen and how you hear. It is important what we hear and when we hear. But the emphasis of our text is how we hear, how we listen. You recall when Hannah took her baby Samuel to the house of the Lord and dedicated him, and the priest Eli took him in, and Samuel was going to be trained under Eli's leadership. During the night, as the child Samuel slept, God spoke to him. As far as we know, it's the first time God ever spoke to Samuel. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel went to Eli and said, did you call me? And Eli said, no, son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Go back to sleep. And he went back the second time, and in the midst of his sleep, the call came again to Samuel. Samuel, Samuel, and Eli did the same thing. He did it the third time, and finally Esau said, you go back, and this time, if you still hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And you know, by his hearing, it changed his entire life. One of the greatest teachers in the Word of God, one of the greatest prophets in the Word of God, was the prophet Samuel, because he listened and how he paid attention when God spoke to him. What is preaching? What is preaching? What is the preacher trying to accomplish when he speaks to his congregation? What should the listener expect to receive from the sermons that are delivered? Nehemiah chapter 8 gives us a great deal of help on that question. We referred to it several weeks ago, and I want to go back and look at it again, just simply to see what's involved in chapter 8 of Nehemiah. In what is preaching? All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And so that was done in verse number 2. Verse number 3, that is Ezra, read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. Now, the young children were not invited to that. They only invited the men and the women and the adults who were capable of hearing and understanding what was being said. And the scripture says in verse 3, they were attentive. They paid attention. How to listen, you see. They paid attention. And Ezra the scribe stood on a pulpit of wood. He had his elders with him, those who were assisting him. And their names are given in verse 4. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And in verse number 7, he mentions some Sunday school teachers. That's what we'd call them today. They were in charge of telling the people what the preacher had said and what it meant. And in verse number 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, giving the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The setting has to do with the Jews being brought back to Jerusalem after spending 70 years in Babylonian captivity. And now they have the opportunity for the first time in 70 years to hear the Word of God read. And they were attentive to the reading of it. Preaching involves explaining the Word of God so the people can understand what it means. That's what preaching is. I want to give you four things this morning, which I believe are necessary in order to understand and retain and profit from the preaching of the Word of God. I told you it's a practical message. And you can apply this to every sermon you ever listen to, that it is most practical, and I believe it will help you as you do so. Four things in learning how to listen to a sermon. Number one, make proper preparation for listening. Make proper preparation for listening. The writer James says in chapter 1, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Once in a while, a freak comes along with four or five mouths and no ears. But generally speaking, God wants us to listen more than we talk. Because we don't learn a whole lot when we talk. We learn when we listen. Make a proper preparation for listening. Number one, come to the preaching service with a clear mind. I know that's very, very difficult. First of all, church is at an awful, awful hour, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. My goodness alive. I've often wondered why in the world at 8 o'clock is early on Sunday morning, but it's late on Monday morning. Come to the preaching service with a clear mind. Avoid fussing with your spouse. And avoid fussing with the children when you come into church. If you want to get in a brawl with your husband or get in an argument with your wife, do it on Monday. Because it'll take you all week to get over it. But you don't do it on Sunday. You don't come to church with your mind cluttered about things like that. I might suggest to you avoid staying up late on Saturday night and trying to catch up by sleeping on Sunday morning. It's the most amazing thing. If you go to bed a little decently on Saturday night, you feel a little bit more like getting up. But if you're up about half the night on Saturday night, it's a drag on Sunday morning. Make proper... Aren't you glad we're talking about the people that aren't here today? Make proper preparation for listening. Number two, always bring your Bible to church. Your Bible is not a scrapbook to be left at home or a catch-all for important papers. Your Bible is the living Word of God. It is the verbally inspired Word of God. It most, the most essential book you'll ever read in your life. Bring your Bible to church. And I also add here, use the same Bible translation your pastor does when he preaches. Now, if that's not your favorite, then you do anything you want to the rest of the time. But whoever's speaking and whoever's preaching, you need to be on the same page looking at the same words. Because the message is coming out of that translation of the Scripture. Number three, pray for God to speak to you through the sermon. Now, all of this comes under the major heading of make proper preparation for listening. Pray to God to speak to you through the sermon, and He'll do that. In Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It doesn't mean that all of your spiritual education is going to come from the preacher on Sunday morning. But I tell you this, if you listen and listen like you should, you're going to learn a little something that you may not have known. Another thing, expect God to speak to you through the sermon. Expect God to speak to you through the sermon. And also always be on time. Boy, that's an ouch, isn't it? I've told you, I'm sure, about the couple in Merkel, Texas. That was my first church. New Live Oak Baptist Church in Merkel, Texas. And after 5 minutes in the pulpit on my first sermon, I said, you need to rename the church. It's Old Dead Oak. New Live Oak Baptist Church. We had a couple in that church that never came to church on time. And my dear friends, just as surely as we'd get up and we'd have the song service and then we'd have the offering and then we'd have the preaching service, the last 2 or 3 minutes, this man and his wife, he didn't have a whole bunch of children. He didn't have a bunch of luggage. Just he and his wife had to get to church. They'd come in the last 2 minutes of the preaching service. And they'd sit down at their normal place toward the back. And I thought, you know, there ought to be a cure for that. And so on one particular Sunday morning, I knew they'd follow the same example they always did. I was preaching along, and I noticed as they were coming into the church, it was about 1 minute before I had to close my message. And they came in, and they sat down, and as soon as they sat down, I said, "Let's all stand for the benediction." And he looked at her, and she looked at him, and they just got their togethers and left. Learn how to be on time. I believe that constant tardiness is a disease. It's a sickness. I think it's a psychological sickness. I think it's a spiritual sickness. Learn how to be on time. And how to be on time, how do you do it? Always be a little ahead of time. And you'll most likely be on time when it's time to begin. I had a pulpit committee to ask me. I've had so many pulpit committees from time to time down through the years in prospect of taking a church. And it's amazing what the questions that pulpit committees ask. And I won't go into that. But this particular pulpit committee said, "Brother Cozart, we want to know something." I said, "Yes, sir." They said, "Are you punctual?" I said, "Am I what?" They said, "Are you punctual?" I said, "I don't know about that, but I'm always on time. Always on time." Learn to listen with a proper attitude. A proper attitude. That's number two. One's attitude makes all the difference in the world as to what he'll get out of the message. Jeremiah 1:8, God said this to Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Now, I see a different thing when I look out from what you see when you look out. Because when you look out in the church service, you see me. That's it. When I look out, I see a lot of different people. And some people have a very difficult time keeping their feelings inside. It'll show up on their faces. Do you believe that people in a congregation that can actually make faces at the preacher? I call it a Donald Trump complexion. Have you ever noticed him on the platform with the other Republican candidates? If anybody says anything he doesn't like, his eyes, one goes this way, and the other eye goes that way. And you look around and say, "Oh, huh?" Listen with a proper attitude. A proper attitude toward God. Genesis 28:16, "Surely," Jacob said, "the Lord is in this place. And he's promised it that where two or three are gathered together, behold, I will be in their midst." That adds some solemnity to the occasion. We must have abiding respect and reverence for God. It's his house. So when we come into his presence to hear him as he speaks, nothing light and frivolous about that. We should have a proper attitude toward the subject of the sermon. The scripture says in Acts 17:11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." Let me give you just a bit of advice here. Don't become so selective of Bible subjects. The subject you don't like may be the very one you need to hear. Had a man one time over in East Texas, and he didn't go to church. He's a member of the church over there. I was pastor of that church. I took the membership roll down. And I started running around trying to find out where the members were. This guy ran an antique shop about 2 miles down the road from the church. And I went by and he said, oh, I hadn't been to church in a long time. I said, I know, that's why I'm here. We're going to start Sunday. Why don't you come to church Sunday? Well, he didn't. I went by on Monday. I said, you know what you need to do this week? He said, what? I said, start going to church Sunday. And you know what? On one particular morning, as I was getting ready to preach, he walked in. And I preached on tithing. He turned around in a huff and said to someone who was sitting beside him, I'll never come and hear this man again. All he does is preach on money. Folk, there's nobody hates preaching on money like I do. I don't like it, but has it ever dawned on you that's the thing he needed to hear? His brain was antique. All he was interested in was getting and getting and getting. But don't be so selective on subjects. So, well, are you going to preach on the doctrines of grace today? Well, if I do, there'll be some to like it and some won't like it. If I preach on the doctrine of hell, there'll be some like it and maybe some won't like it. But, you know, if it's the Word of God, learn to adjust to it. Maybe God has something I need to know about this subject. A proper attitude toward the subject of the sermon. A proper attitude toward oneself. 1 Peter 2:2. I direct this to me as much as I direct it to you. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Don't come into the service as an authority. Come into the service as a learner. None of us are as knowledgeable as we think we are. Beware of dotting I's and crossing T's. And also have a proper attitude toward the preacher. And even if I wasn't a preacher, I'd still say that. The preacher is just a piece of clay, according to the Scripture. Don't be so hard on him. Don't become distracted with his tie or the way he combs his hair. He may not shout and holler as some do, but listen to what he's saying. If you do not like your preacher, and if you have lost respect for your preacher, do not sit under his ministry. Go somewhere else and aggravate another preacher. Number three, listen properly to the sermon itself. Listen properly to the sermon itself. Number one, get involved in the sermon. Participate in the sermon by looking up references. And I know, and I'm the world's worst about this, I call for references sometimes and maybe do not give enough time for people to turn to them. Sometimes I call for references I can't even find in the Bible. All right? But participate in the sermon by looking up the references. Participate by taking notes. Yeah. Not by writing notes or sending text messages, but taking notes. Learn to look for and follow the preacher's outline. With some preachers, this is an impossibility. Brother Lester Roloff was one of my favorites. Brother Lester was a dear friend to me. And he's been with the Lord now for many years. But Lester had a very unique way of preaching. He would stand up and say, four things. Four. One, two, three, four, four. Four things you need to know this morning. And I would sit there and I'd listen. And he never got beyond number one. I'd walk out after the service. Well, the other three. Listen properly to the sermon itself. You'll be able to do this with your pastor, I hope, because he's an outline preacher. I'm a firm believer in homiletics. I always try to build a house from the pulpit. I try to lay a foundation. I try to bring in the structures, the material, and finally put the roof on it, and then we can go home. Homiletical preach. I've got a message, and many, many messages, but on this particular one, just for an example, you take the account in Mark 5, verses 1 through 20, which deals with the Gadarene demoniac, where Christ left one side of the Sea of Galilee and went to the other side, and there he commanded the demons who were possessing this man to come out of him. It's a great story, a great miracle performed by our Lord. Whenever I preach that sermon, there are three points to it. Number one, what sin does for the sinner. Number two, what the Savior does for the sinner. And number three, what the saved sinner does for the Savior. One of the first conferences I preached at Brother Pat Horner's church in San Antonio. Pat's no longer the pastor there. He had a young man in that church who was always asking questions after the sermon. He couldn't get enough. And it wasn't too long after that that God called that young man to preach. Now, he has a church in San Antonio, and I go to preach in his church. And he got up and told the people, he said, the first time I ever heard Dan Cozart, he preached on the Gadarene demoniac, what sin does for the sinner, what the Savior does for the sinner, and what the saved sinner does for the saved. He still remembered it. He listened. Learn to look for and follow the preacher's outline. Make application of what the preacher says. Are you talking to me? I mean, surely the preacher's talking to somebody on Sunday morning. Has it ever dawned on you? He may be talking to you. You say, well, how will I know? Because your phone's been ringing. Listen to it. Does this apply to me? How does this apply to me? Instead of saying, boy, I wish they'd been here, they really would have got preached to today. Look for Christ and the gospel in everything. Look for Christ and the gospel in everything. Mr. Spurgeon was asked how he prepared his sermons. And Charles Spurgeon truly has been acclaimed the prince of all preachers. I have most of all of his books and most of all of his sermons in print in my study. Enjoy studying them and enjoy reading them. And he was asked the question, how do you prepare a sermon? He said, I choose a text and then I make a beeline to Calvary. What a way to prepare a sermon. I choose a text and then make a beeline to Calvary. Avoid distractions in the services. Children are going to play and talk. They were born to play and talk. And guess what? Babies are going to cry. And Satan will use anything to keep our minds off the message. I'm backing away from being, I don't want to be ugly here. Have you ever thought about sitting on the front pew? You'd be surprised when you sit on the front pew, you don't see any bobbling of heads in front of you. You don't see any distractions. But some people, I don't know why it is. Who was it? I don't know. Maybe Brother Roger Johnson. He says some profound things every once in a while. That he would not want to be, what, the third stanza of a hymn and the front pew in the church. Huh? Isn't that right? We always sing first, second, and last. And everybody wants to get on the last pew. One preacher in building his church had mechanics brought in, had the architects brought in, had this thing all lined out, and he brought in the equipment to arrange the pews like they were supposed to be arranged. They had the money to do it. There's never been another church built like it ever since. On Sunday morning, the people came in, they began to fill up the back pew. When the back pew filled up, he punched a red button, and the back pew came all the way down. And then another pew popped up in its place. And finally, he got the church full by filling up the back and bringing them forward. Baxter Walker was a man that God used to bring me to Christ. The Lord uses people. He uses things. And Baxter Walker was a good preacher. I have not seen him or heard of him in so many years. He may be dead, maybe with the Lord. If he's dead, he's with the Lord. He preached in the country church. And as he was preaching, and he was the kind of preacher, you just almost had to listen to what he had to say because he was dynamic. And as he was preaching, and he told me about this, he said, as I was preaching, I had the attention of every member in the congregation. They were all looking at me. And finally, I noticed one or two begin to look past me. And it wasn't long until two or three others looked past me. And all of a sudden, I realized they're not looking at me any longer. They're looking over here. And he said, I had to just really discipline myself. I wanted to look so badly to see what they were looking at. And I couldn't wait to do it. And I just turned around and there was a great big old snake coiled up over the wall over there. It's amazing the distractions that the devil will use to keep you from hearing the Word of God. And me from hearing the Word of God. I said there were four things, and this is the fourth one. Take appropriate actions after the sermon. Take appropriate actions after the sermon. Number one, don't turn your mind off. Don't turn your mind off. One of the worst things you'll ever do is after a sermon is to walk in and say, well, I'm sure glad I got that over with. Don't have to worry about going to church for another whole week. No, don't turn your mind off. Number two, thank the Lord for speaking to you. Isn't it something? He doesn't have to speak to any of us. And if God speaks to you in a service when the Word of God is being preached, doesn't make any difference who the preacher is, whether it's me, we bring in guest speakers, whoever it might be. Every time Ray Brasher opens his mouth, especially in the pulpit, it's such a blessing because Ray Brasher teaches me the Word of God. God uses him as a spokesman. Thank the Lord for speaking to you. Discuss the sermon with others. Now, that doesn't mean you ought to go home after church and have preacher pudding for dinner, you know. Well, what do you think of Wise Hammer this morning? What do you think about what he said? Now, talk about the message. And if it's the Word of God, talk an awful lot about the message. And if it's not, then pray for the preacher that he'll start preaching the Word of God. Discuss the sermon with others. What do you think about it? Review your notes. Your what? Your N-O-T-E-S. Notes. Notes are a good thing to take. Do research on the sermon. Use a commentary. Get you a good, reliable Bible dictionary, a concordance, and even maps can be helpful as you broaden your knowledge in learning more about the Word of God. And put into practice during the week what you've learned. James 1:22, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Psalm 119, verse 10, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. If you're one who says, well, I never get anything out of the Bible, I don't get anything out of the sermon, I just don't understand any of it, that's a sign of danger. A real sign of danger. A danger that you're not listening. There are seven churches in the book of Revelation, seven legitimate churches. I heard one guy this past week, I was going home and I tuned my radio into this particular preacher. He threw me a curveball, but the more I listened to him, then I began to realize what he was saying. He talked about the church in Revelation you ought to watch out for. Well, I think you can learn something from all seven. That's the reason I took issue with him. But he's talking about the whore church in Revelation chapter 17. And he was absolutely right about that one. But nonetheless, seven churches in the book of Revelation, Ephesus, Laodicea, all of them. In every one of them, you know what it has? A common thread. It says, he that hath ears to let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May God enable all of us to be careful how we hear. One other scripture, and I will close. In Mark 16:16, I want you to listen to it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Have you trusted the Lord as your Savior? Have you followed the Lord Jesus in baptism? He that believeth not shall be damned. Now you can read that 100 years from today and it'll say the same thing. If you don't believe, you'll be damned. You need to be careful how you listen. And if you're here today without Christ, He's the only one that can save you. And He paid the price of our redemption by dying on Calvary's cross for our sins. If you believe in Him and trust Him and look to Him and yield your heart by faith to Him, you can be saved. Are you listening to that? Are you really listening to it? God, help us to learn how to listen, especially when we come to church. Listen to your Sunday school teacher. Listen to your preacher. Listen to those that God has called to become teachers. Every one of us, as teachers and preachers, we know our total, absolute insignificance. We're nothing, just a hunk of clay. But I'm so glad that God had mercy to call me to preach, and I didn't want to. I did not want to. But God gave me the desire to do that. And my desire is that people will listen, at least listen to what I have to say. Let's stand, please, for prayer.